Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Joe Donahue. A nearly every depressed person is assured by doctors, well-meaning friends and family, the media, and ubiquitous advertisements that the underlying problem is a chemical imbalance. Such a simple defect should be fixable, yet despite all of the resources that have been devoted to finding a solution, depression remains stubbornly widespread. So why are we losing this fight? Well, these are all questions that psychologist Jonathan Rottenberg has looked at and explored in his new book, The Depths, The Evolutionary Origins of the Depression Epidemic. Drawing on recent developments in the science of mood and his own harrowing depressive experience as a young adult, Rottenberg explains depression in evolutionary terms, showing how its dark pull arises from adaptations that evolved to help our ancestors ensure their survival. Michael Rottenberg, thank you very much for being with us this morning. I appreciate it. Very nice to have you on the program.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you. So when it came to this ultimate project and to look at depression, how did you decide to go about it and ultimately really bring in your story as well?
Yeah, so depression is a huge problem in the world. It affects 1 in 5 people in the U.S., a growing problem in the developed world. I came to this project after experiencing a punishing depressive episode that almost took my life when I was a young adult. It lasted over 4 years. I was studying history, and after the depressive episode, that really didn't seem so relevant. I needed to understand what had happened to me. I needed to understand mood, how mood could go haywire, and I embarked upon a new career as a psychologist.
Do you think, and I realize this is a very broad statement that I'm about to make, but do you think that people can't truly understand depression until they have gone through it and understand, and you use the word as the title of your book, to understand the depths of it?
I think that they can get a taste of it. I mean, they can read books like William Styron's Darkness Visible and get a good feeling. They can read my book and get a feeling for what it's like. And certainly the caregivers, for example, my wife had a very good feeling for what it was like. Now, she wasn't inside my head. It is a very profound experience that is beyond severe depression, ordinary low mood. It's a much more intense and much more long-lasting version of low mood that has, you know, more profound impacts on your thoughts. So, you know, I had thoughts, for example, of killing myself that now seem absurd. I was unable to get out of bed, which now seems absurd. When you're in a depression, these things are the most natural things in the world.
And while they are natural and you're living in that moment, there is a part, isn't there, that sort of looks out and says, okay, I realize that it shouldn't be this way, right? I mean, it's not like it's almost as if it's the default, and not how you because you make the realization that isn't how you should feel.
Yes, I remember going to visit my psychiatrist every week. I had a wonderful psychiatrist. He didn't cure me, but he was a wonderful man. And even though I was so impaired and I was so unable to communicate the way that I normally did, I knew that the sort of the real me would like him. And 20 years later, he's my colleague, and the real me does like him. So in a sense, you know, you are still you, but you're a very broken down, reduced version of yourself. And it's very hard to be kind of trapped in your own body in that way.
As I mentioned in the introduction, you read a lot about mood in the book, and that is something that you have looked at some really interesting science on this. What do we now know about mood and ultimately its connection to depression?
Yeah, so moods are these profound states that harness our bodies and our minds, so they make us behave in certain ways and have certain thoughts, and ultimately they're the products of millions of years of evolution. So other mammals, our dogs and cats, have moods, and moods organize our behavior. So they're actually useful ordinarily. So high moods help us pursue rewarding things, so make hay while the sun shines. And low moods also, though they're painful, are also ordinarily useful. They help us pause our behavior or give up on projects that aren't working. You know, you guys have had a lot of blizzards, for example, and when animals are stuck in blizzards, they hunker down.
Yep.
And that's useful as opposed to striking out at a new territory and getting separated from your group and so forth. And so serious depression is an elaboration upon that ancient response. And it's a good adaptation, but it's not perfect, just like anxiety is an adaptation, but it gets people into trouble. Pain is an adaptation, but it too, it gets people into trouble.
One of the things that you talk about in the book, and I think this is such an important point, is that the way we view depression and the way we view this epidemic of depression has to be looked at within this framework of moods that are quite ordinary, and it's important to do so, and as you argue, it's we have a moral imperative to do so.
There's no other way to understand why so many people are depressed now. So I said that, you know, if you want to understand depression, you have to understand evolution and that we're beasts, but we're very special kinds of beasts. You can't understand depression without seeing the special physical and cultural environment that humans have created that's very hospitable for low mood. So, you know, we don't sleep enough. We don't get enough light. We don't get enough physical activity. So there's a lot of ways in which this perspective is actually quite hopeful, because there are a number of things that people can actually do to change their mood.
Such as?
Well, so for example, we normally think let's flip the defect model on the head. So the idea that, you know, it's a chemical imbalance. And, you know, people get depressed because they're uniquely defective. Well, actually, we get depressed because there are things that humans sort of do too well. So, for example, we think we have advanced language. We think it can tell stories about ourselves. That's fantastic. So, for example, only human beings can have the thought, I'm a terrible mother, and play that thought over and over in your head. But human beings can also stop that tape. They can stop that thought. Humans, unlike other species, can get into trouble in the way that they set goals. So you can say, oh, I'm not going to be happy unless I'm world famous, or I'm a doctor or a lawyer and so forth. But you can also change your goals. So that can be a way, that can be something that people can do to actually change your mood.
When, in writing the book and looking at some of the prescriptions that you have written in the minute that we have left, are you confident that that can happen? Are you optimistic that it can happen?
I'm very optimistic that it can happen, and it really needs to happen. I mean, for the last 20 some odd years, we've been listening for Prozac and waiting for medications to kick in to give us insight as to why so many people are depressed. And we really need a broader framework, and I think this framework that I provide in the depths is both hopeful, more optimistic, but also more realistic about what depression is and what people can do to bring their mood back up.
And I apologize to do this to you in just in 30 seconds that we have left, but I do want you to quickly address medication of how you feel, because it is a part of the regimen in some cases.
It is a part of the regimen, absolutely, And I'm not saying that people should stop taking their medications or anything like that. Medications are a tool, and people need to take control of their moods and use all the tools at their disposal. And so if that's medications, fantastic. If that's changing physical activity, sleep, what you think, the people that you're around, whatever it takes, it's in all of the above, because mood is responsive to all of these different things in our body and our mind.
The name of the book is The Depths, The Evolutionary Origins of the Depression Epidemic. Jonathan Rottenberg is the author. It is published by Basic Books. Jonathan, thank you very much for joining us this morning. I appreciate your time and expertise.
Thank you very much for having me. It was a pleasure.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.